All right, let's get into today's 5 at 5 now, brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. And Adam, you may fire when ready.
All right, start us off nice and easy here with a question with a million answers. Who is your favorite fictional detective?
Columbo.
Wow, that was easy.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Lieutenant Columbo.
Don't want to think about it at all.
No, come on, Lieutenant Columbo. Does it get any better than that? You're going to tell me, like, who? Sam Spade?
Well, I mean,
Philip Marlowe?
I mean, they're all fine options. Personally, my favorite on it, and this is, feel free to laugh at me for this, my favorite is Sean Spencer from Psych. I love that show.
Sean Spencer?
Yeah.
Isn't he
the fake psychic, yeah.
Oh, he's not the press secretary? What's his name?
That's Spicer.
Sean Spicer. Oh,
Sean
yeah.
Spicer.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, Sean Spicer is not my favorite fictional detective. Although I would probably watch a show with him on it, because that would be entertaining.
Yeah, no, Lieutenant Columbo is, I think he's pretty locked into being my favorite fictional detective. Even beat Sherlock Holmes.
Well, there's too many versions of Sherlock Holmes to really get excited about. You got to pick one, I guess.
But, I mean, the thing about Philip Marlowe and Sam Spade, though, is they were played by Bogey.
Yeah. So. Spade is a great one. I have to tell you this, there's a great Twitter follow out there right now. If you're a fan of Law & Order SVU, Ice-T's character, somebody has created a Twitter follow that just makes up drugs for Ice-T to talk about and, like, give wild, completely ridiculous metaphors of what these people were doing when they were hopped up on this ridiculously named drug. It's fantastic.
Is that what his character does?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's going over my head because I don't watch that.
Yeah, it's a great show, and his character is always the guy who just gets the most ridiculous lines to throw out there for no reason.
What about Sonny Crockett and Rico Tubbs? They count?
Sure, we'll go with that.
But no, Lieutenant Columbo is.
Yeah, that's not a bad pick at
game,
all.
Game, set, match.
Sure, why not? I really expected more discussion there. There's a million possibilities, but all right.
Yeah. Well, like, Spade, Marlowe, Lieutenant Columbo, fictional detectives we're talking, huh? Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. You could say Batman.
Yeah,
I guess,
Batman.
If you really
is,
wanted to.
Batman's technically a detective.
He's the world's greatest detective.
Yeah. Yeah, I would accept Batman. By the way, have you seen in the upcoming Aquaman movie that they have made Aquaman's trident? It's no longer a trident because it has 5 points.
Yeah, 5 points.
Yeah.
It's a little much, but all right, whatever.
Also no longer a trident.
No, it's not. It's closer to a menorah now.
Yeah, so they're doing that. Oh, and Episode 9 has a release date, May 24th, 2019, Star Wars.
So they're leaving the December release date for Episode 9.
Yeah, May 24th.
Huh.
They announced, and then sometime in 2020, Indiana Jones 5. Which I don't need.
I don't either. I know this. I know radio is not a visual medium, so I would just tell everyone how he had a huge eye roll right there when he told me that, because you couldn't see it. Moving right along here, question number two.
Is Indiana? No, he was more of an archaeologist, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's an element of detective work to it, but
yeah,
still great character. Love Indiana Jones for the first three times we saw him. Moving right along here. Is there anyone not named Steph Curry, Kawhi Leonard, or, of course, LeBron James who can lead their team to an NBA championship this season?
This season. Well, sure, Kevin Durant.
I knew it. I knew the moment I asked.
Yeah. But no, because one of those three teams is going to win the title. Harden? No, Houston's not going to win. What about Paul Millsap? Do we have Hawks fever again now? The Hawks have not gone gently into the good night.
I still think the Hawks are going to win this series, but I've never said the Hawks are going to win even the Eastern Conference. I think the Hawks getting to the NBA Finals this year would be one of the biggest sports shockers in the last 20 years.
Sure. It's going to be tense for Washington tomorrow night back home, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
drawn even now.
I will say, I think the winner of this next game is going to win the series, whoever it is. Even though I don't think Washington can win in Atlanta, I feel like if Atlanta cannot win in Washington this week, with all the momentum and everything going in their favor, they're not going to win Game 7 in Washington either. So if the Hawks can win Game 5, come back to Atlanta. I think they win it in six, which is great because that was actually my prediction that's been written up on the wall for 2 weeks.
That the Hawks would win in six?
It is.
Yeah, so that'd be – and doubly impressive would be that means they won four straight games too.
It would be. So, I don't know. We'll see how that happens. What about the next three seasons? Do you see anybody in the NBA leading their team to a championship other than the three I mentioned in the next three seasons?
Over the next three seasons, does LeBron start to slip a little bit? I know everyone wants to think that the Cavs already are kind of slipping now, and then here they are. They just swept Indiana in the first round, and Jeff and I figured it out yesterday. In the last 6 years, LeBron is 72-20 in the Eastern Conference playoffs. So it's been just a formality. But I do think, you know, Boston is building something. It's Washington has been a funny team because I thought 2 years ago when the Hawks and Wizards met in the playoffs and Atlanta got lucky that Wall got hurt. But with Wall and Beal, I felt like Washington was on the verge of maybe putting themselves in position to be that next team once LeBron, stepped away. But they didn't make the playoffs last year, and now they're all of a sudden they're in a tight one with Atlanta again that they might not even win. But you know, Boston being the number one seed, Anthony Davis has been crazy because the guy's great, but I guess he needs more help around him in New Orleans. But I think Anthony Davis is that level of player that one day will win a title. Russell Westbrook too, I'd have to say, but he obviously needs help too. But Westbrook is an NBA championship winning type of player.
Here's a question. And obviously this is a lot of forecasting here. Does Westbrook decide to jump ship and go to Houston? That would be interesting, I think.
Well, how long did he re-sign for this past offseason?
I do not know. I really don't know. And look, I realize asking about the next three seasons in the NBA is kind of a toss-up because the free agency could be ridiculous. There could be just some kind of landmark move that happens that sends, you know, Kevin Durant, I think he only has a one-year deal with Golden State. He could go to Houston, or he could go to somewhere like Milwaukee and join Antetokounmpo. I mean, you might have a really dangerous team there.
Maybe he'd come back to OKC.
I don't think that's happening.
See, like, Westbrook doesn't hate Harden, but he does hate Durant, right?
It seems like it, yeah.
Yeah. But Harden got traded or whatever. It's not like Harden left them like Durant left them. So there is a difference, I suppose.
So.
But so if Westbrook, though, flees, then Billy Donovan to Kentucky in a couple of years, how's that work out? Because Donovan ain't staying in Oklahoma City because basically he's just in the lottery then.
Right. Yeah, probably. Of course, that depends on how quickly does Calipari get canned for the next scandal.
Yeah.
Well, or if he gets fired in the middle of the season, they have to pay him money.
Yeah. Well, he's hanging on so far.
Yeah.
Scandal-free, anyway.
No. Calipari will never be scandal-free. Kind of like, I can't believe it's not butter is fat-free. Anyway, is there a better solution to handling situations like Deonte Demery than just releasing them?
No, I think I'm kind of a proponent of when guys are abusing women, that I'm really zero tolerance on that.
Yeah.
I think Georgia acted swiftly there and moved and went ahead and made the decision and parted ways with him. And I think that's the move to make. And I appreciate it too, because the thing is, it's not. I mean, Demery's a good player. I mean, well, we think he will be. Again,
right.
He hadn't played college football yet, but he was a four-star recruit that Alabama wanted also. So he was a big-time prospect. But, like, we've seen guys like Joe Mixon, even last year Mississippi State had fallout from because they let Jeffrey Simmons play. He was a five-star defensive tackle that had an incident of abuse, too, with a woman. So, and that's in school sometimes. They'll look the other way if the guy's good at football and could be an asset to him, but. Georgia didn't do that there, and I appreciate that from Georgia's standpoint. So, I don't know if there's a better way.
I think, what do you mean,
maybe some sort of counseling?
To rephrase the question, here's for a lot of these athletes, they go to high schools where they are regarded as next to gods. They get they get puffed up because they are good at playing football, and so they get away with a lot more. So what happens? There's two ways to look at a release like this. On the one hand, first, and I completely agree, what Demery did, allegedly did, was completely unacceptable. Completely unacceptable. However, there are two ways to look at a release like this. The first is that, good, it teaches someone consequences. They understand that their actions aren't acceptable. They change. However, how many times have we seen a guy get released from a school for something like this, move on to the next place, and then do it again? So I don't know how much of a lesson that really is. The second train of thought there is that maybe, obviously, they can't play football. But is there a way to keep somebody in an environment where they are held accountable for their actions, where maybe they are given an opportunity to mature and learn without releasing them back into an environment where they can just say, well, you know what, I'm the best at playing football, someone will pick me up.
So in other words, like a situation where Georgia would have said, you could just go to school here, we'll let you get an education, but you're not going to play football, that's the consequences, you've lost that ability, but you've got a chance to maybe learn from your actions, get an education, mature that way.
Maybe. I don't know. That's something I've always wondered about, is if you're in an environment where, yes, losing football was clearly a consequence that I am okay with, I just have to wonder, is there a better way to enforce this idea that what you did is wrong, you cannot be allowed to do this, you have to learn to do better and to be better?
Coaches have used that in the past to justify keeping a troubled player on their roster. I mean, Tom Osborne did it with Lawrence Phillips. But, I mean, that was a situation. Lawrence Phillips was good, and that's why Tom Osborne was willing to look the other way. But it was I've sent him to counseling, and the counselor said that the structure of football is what Lawrence needed. And if he didn't have the structure of football and you just released him out in the wild, then he would never be better. But he didn't change anyway, even right. With the structure of football. When he had that in him, he was still just a bad guy.
Yeah.
And Tom Osborne kept him around because he was useful to Tom Osborne. But I do see that side of it where, yeah, I mean, having the structure of still – you got to come, you got to be here, you got to be here, you got to be here at certain times. Maybe, I mean, but just to release them and get rid of them and send them off, then if they're desperate and don't have anything else, it could be better. Is that going to turn them around? But
yeah,
I don't think there is an easy answer. But the thing with Demery is, because he is a good football player, he's going to play football again.
He will.
But
maybe a JUCO, maybe some other school tries.
Yeah, and eventually he could resurface somewhere in the SEC. Lord knows we at Georgia have seen plenty of players that we've had to kick off teams, come back, and in some cases burn us. Nick
right.
Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's fine, so be it. Let those other schools deal with it. But I appreciate that Georgia was kind of no-nonsense on that front.
Right, and again, I'm not disagreeing with the ultimate decision. I'm just – that's something I've always wondered. Is there a way to handle it that actually helps the student-athlete grow? And some guys will respond to being released, and they'll understand that they've made a mistake. Some guys won't. And it's just – I just don't know.
Right. Well, I guess the problem I have when you have the coaches that say, where I can appreciate the idea of maintaining that structure and you've got this team around you, but so often it seems like only the good players benefit from that.
Right.
And if it's like some one or a two-star recruit that hasn't done much for you, it's easier just to go ahead and get rid of them.
Right. That's why I've always kind of wondered if there could be some kind of like a black shirt discipline where a guy loses 12 to 18 months of academic or athletic eligibility, but they're still welcome to stay with the program and grow.
Right. But then again, I mean, like a guy like Demery probably wouldn't want to do that, because Demery would think, well, I want to play football.
Right.
I don't want to just come here, and even I appreciate the opportunity to be on scholarship and get an education, but I can go somewhere else and they'll give me a scholarship and I'll still be able to play football too.
Right. Move right along here. Does any event in sports warrant itself to overanalysis more than the NFL draft?
You know, probably not, because the whole draft process plays out for months and months and months. The combine's in February, but you've got all those like senior bowls and all-star games in January. So no. And then Hick, even occasionally during the downtime during the college football season, you're still like thinking about, well, boy, that, or you're watching the NFL, like, that team stinks. They need a quarterback. They're going to draft this guy. So, no. I mean, by the time you get to it, you could talk yourself into and out of players for as long as that plays out. That probably is number one, to be able to just, you know, overanalyze every little detail of some player.
Right.
You know, when you're getting down to diluted samples.
Diluted samples, hundredths of seconds on a 40 time.
Yeah.
I love the old saying, paralysis by analysis. And that's why a lot of these teams, I think, struggle in the draft. It's because they've done so much analysis, so many numbers that they're throwing on there, that they've just completely lost actual perspective on the players.
It should be oversimplified to the point of, like, can the guy play? What's his stats? And Darius Hayward Bay is one of the all-time great busts in the examples of the, you know, the overemphasis on the combine. And maybe it's also, too, just the fact, I mean, the Raiders were without Davis there, were just a lousy franchise. But the guy had like two touchdown catches at Maryland, and they drafted him seventh or eighth. And you look like, okay, he played a game against Virginia and didn't have a touchdown catch. So if Virginia can hold him out, or like not even talking about touchdown catches, like, he didn't have a catch against Virginia. So if Virginia can hold him without a catch, I'm pretty sure NFL defenses will be able to do that too.
That's a fair assessment, I think.
Yeah.
Last question. We'll do this kind of quickly. Last week off the air, you and I were talking about this. Saw that Kurt Russell apparently tried to pitch to movie studios back in the 80s. He wanted a crossover film where Bruce Willis's main character, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and himself, and I think one other, Sylvester Stallone, would all do this one big action movie where they were their main characters, like John McClane or the T-1000. I don't know.
Rambo,
right. And so you'd have this one big action movie with all these guys in it. So obviously that didn't happen. But let me ask, if you were to produce some sort of major, just insane crossover, who would you pull together?
You'd probably have to have Indiana Jones in it.
Okay.
I would probably go John McClane, too, because I love those Die Hard movies.
Okay.
But Lieutenant Columbo, no. John McClane, Indiana Jones. I mean, the Star Wars guys are all in space, so we'll just keep it. We'll keep them on Earth. Harrison Ford played like a lot of good. Because he even did what was his character's name in
Jack Ryan.
Yeah, Jack Ryan.
Okay,
the Jack Ryan. How about we do that? We do Jack Ryan, Han Solo, and Indiana Jones, and it's just Harrison Ford playing all roles.
I would watch that movie in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Especially with Jack Ryan. Or even, I'll throw one more in there. When he played the president in Air Force One.
Okay.
I got it. Harrison Ford as the president brings together these great heroes, Indiana Jones, Han Solo, and Jack Ryan, to save the world.
All right. And Han Solo, I mean, Harrison Ford guaranteed an Oscar, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because he should
too.
Well, because he should have won it for Empire Strikes Back.
Well, he could have won Best Actor and Supporting Actor in this movie.
Yeah, he would win both for the same character and the same role in the same year. Well, I guess it would be different characters.
Be different characters, yeah. But different same film. Yeah.
He would win Best Actor for Han Solo, and then supporting Indiana Jones.
Maybe Jack Ryan, little bit of gravitas to the
Or
role.
Maybe he would be like every the nominees are Harrison Ford for Indiana Jones, Harrison Ford for Han Solo, Harrison Ford for Jack Ryan, and then the supporting role would be the president. Like, that would be a minor role because it would be him getting them all together, but then they would go out. So I think that sounds like a killer movie.
I'd watch it in a heartbeat. We need to get Hollywood on this.
Yeah. Harrison Ford playing all his...
Look, if Eddie Murphy and Tyler Perry can do it, I think Harrison Ford can do it.
Yeah. Oh, hands down, he could do it. We just need a director.
There you go.
I guess Spielberg?
Sure, why not?
Let's go with Spielberg. All right, there's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.